Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
What's your big vision then for New York and whatever project? Like, what project are you working on, if you can chat about it?
Well, I'm a partner with a cultivator, and the goal is to keep it real simple, just to grow good flower. That's it. Nothing fancy. Just, can we grow a good tasting flower? Like, I'm not a big fan of all the vapes and mixing and adding terps and I'm a real natural, simple dude. And like, I just want to see, smell and taste a good flower. I don't smoke cannabis that much, occasionally before bed. You know, that's, it's for me, it's, it tires me out and I don't need to be tired, but, that's a whole nother story. I don't, but anyway, so
wait, why don't you need to be tired?
Cause I'm already, I just live off, listen, I've never even had coffee. I tasted it when I was 13 and I burned my tongue. Haven't had it since. So I live like my whole rhythm is I live off the sunlight, right? I rise with the sun and I go down with the sun.
Yeah.
I don't really need any substances to just flow. And I just kind of coast right now, right? Like, I used to be a maniac in college, snorting things, popping things, eating things. Like, I tried all this stuff and then I would just collapse alone in my bed like a loser, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's kind of like every drug, in my opinion, that I've tried, there's a benefit to it if it's not abused, right? It's very easy to abuse things and forget there's so much else you can put in your body on a daily basis. So I don't just, what I should say is I don't abuse it. Like, if I'm going to smoke, I'm going to smoke like once in a while. Maybe it's at the end of the night, I'll smoke or watch a movie or something with my girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, it's not, it's always, it's, that's where I was going with it. And you know what the thing is? I think psychedelics could heal the world. Out of all the drugs I did, I think they should legalize mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Because if you do those in a controlled environment with good instruction, there could be many benefits. Now, if you just do them at a party or something, you could get scared and have a traumatic event.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Well, and even in in Colorado, they actually have passed, and then in Oregon as well. So there are, I mean, it's, I don't think you can yet go to a clinic, although I'm not positive. But I had a client that's even gone to like ketamine clinics. So, I mean, not mushrooms, not plant-based medicine, but it's really interesting in a controlled environment what kind of benefits you can have just for your overall happiness. It's pretty wild. But in the, I guess, the East Coast scene, I mean, cannabis is just legalized, but are there talks kind of where you're running around with like really pushing psychedelics a little bit more? Because I know it's a West Coast thing in the U.S., but... has it been conversations that it will happen soon?
I've heard people, but I'm not too involved in that scene. But yeah. I've heard that there was things on the ballot, and I would be speaking on things I'm not familiar with, so I don't want to say anything.
Well, no worries about that. Wow, that's so interesting. And so, like, the cultivation, it's interesting. So, like, for you now, what I find is like this. Massive energy, moving, and you're kind of building this empire. You've learned all about yourself and that kind of self-discovery in prison. Now you kind of you're re-emerging and you're working on this cultivation. But what is really next for you? Like, what's your big why now?
I want to build off-grid retreats where people can recharge, because at the end of the day, we plug our cell phones into charge, we plug our cars into charge. But the human body is not being plugged into dwellings that charge us so we can thrive and go and get whatever we want in the world. Yeah. A lot of the spaces that we live into, our nests that we go into at night to sleep in, drain us. They could have toxic air. Mm-hmm. A lot of the insulations and stuff in our roofs and behind the walls, they have mold and people don't even know it. And then they think they're sick and they go to a doctor and get something they don't even need. So what we need is fresh air, good vibes, right? So I want to create places that are in harmony with the sun and the earth. Yeah. We use the earth's energy to heat and cool the space, and cold plunges, infrared saunas, outdoor gyms. That's what I want to do.
I love it. What area are you thinking U.S.?
I want to do it all along the East Coast between the Carolinas and New England, along the Appalachians, wherever there's fresh water sources. Fresh water is the most precious commodity in time to come.
It is. No, it really is. It scares me because in Portugal, like, they've been in a drought for, because I was in LA, so big drought area in California, and then in Portugal as well. And it's just, it is a natural resource that you need to make sure you have access to in right now, but like definitely in the future. I think that's really, really brilliant.
Yeah, fresh water. I mean, you know, I used to build the waterfalls when I was a kid, right?
So that. So that is that kind of the link in between wanting to do that.
I'm really drawn to fresh water. When I was younger, I was with my buddies. We were like hiking along this trail and I had a ton of psychedelics and I found this stream and I was just mesmerized by it just healed me. Like, so I was going through some tough times in like college and I needed to escape college. So I went to the woods with my buddies and we ate this and it immediately, as soon as I got to that stream, my whole, it just, everything felt better.
Wow.
And you know, think about back hundreds of years ago, we always settled near water, ports and stuff. The body is naturally drawn to fresh water. Like attracts water. Your body's over 60% water.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be attracted. The thing about it, everybody goes on vacation, they go near water.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always need to live by water myself. Like I'm like, we're right by the beach. Like it's just a necessity. And then also grounding. I try to do that every day. I think it's really hard when you're in the city and if you're like an apartment and you're in a kind of like that concrete jungle, but just like finding even like a little patch of grass to like take your shoes off and like ground really does recharge you. Is it something you do?
Yeah. I'm not as much in the winter up here, but I have this.
Oh, yeah.
I have a pond that I will go swimming in. I cut a hole in the ice last week. So
wow.
I'll cold plunge, but it's very important. If you fly anywhere on a plane, you need to immediately get off that plane and be barefoot for at least 30 minutes. Because when you're 40,000 feet from the Earth, there's something with the electrons that float on the Earth's surface and the electrons in our body. Don't quote me on this exact scientific terms, but bottom line is when you're that disconnected from the Earth, when you fly to a new place, usually you don't sleep good the first night or two. You need to like it. But if you step off that plane and 30 minutes, at least barefoot, you'll sleep much better that first night off the plane.
Wow. Oh, I will definitely take that because it doesn't matter if it's like a long international flight or like a 3-hour flight. Like you always do for me personally, like I always do feel a little bit just like my body doesn't make sense. Like it feels out of whack. I've got to try that. That's such a good piece of advice. Dude, I love your story. Are you trying to, with pressure, are you trying to continue to build the awareness about the book?
I need to figure out my strategy and how to do it. I think I need to write another book, another nonfiction book that teaches people how to get what they want in life. And then, because it's really hard for me to be on social media and promote myself. Be like, look at me, look what I did. But if I write another book that it's specifically and only about the reader, easier for me. I'll be on social media. Like, I just want to go out there and run my mouth right now. I need people like you to interview me that are cool, that I can vibe with, and really pick cool topics that range from overcoming adversity, resilience, thriving, and really iron out those topics and share knowledge and wisdom with the listeners. That's what I want to do. Yeah. I have a lot of,
I think it's interesting. So when you said like overcoming adversity, we actually didn't really talk about that. We kind of breezed over this. We're like, okay, yes, like you were in the prison, you had that kind of a moment, but like how did, like prison is tough, I imagine.
So if you end up reading the book, my childhood was much tougher than prison. So for me, prison was kind of like just a reset.
Wow.
I have to say it was boring though at times. It was boring. I was able to read a lot of books and I didn't mind the alone time. It was just the food was really tough to deal with. It's not like I like nutrient dense food.
Yeah, dude, that's not going to be. And isn't that just wild? Like just the kind of shit that they give you. And it's the same in hospitals and public hospitals.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy. Well, my mom had cancer and like it was just, like the chemo and the radiation is what almost killed her. And cancer cells thrive on sugar. But yet when she would speak to a nutritionist, they're like, just eat whatever you need. Make yourself these smoothies with peanut butter and ice cream. And she would listen because she is somebody of that generation that would listen to a doctor and not somebody who's even like, with all the experience I had, even in cannabis and all the people that I've been connected to, really couldn't trust that. So it's really wild how authority in like systematic authority still influences a lot of people.
Yeah, I was always amazed at the hospital beds, you know, 1,000+ a night, and they feed you Jell-O.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to get fixed.
It definitely does.
But, you know, there's no, the sad truth is, though, there isn't any money in healthy people. You know what I'm saying? If that's a whole nother conversation, but that's the thing. If everybody was healthy, I mean, they wouldn't make any money. So I get it. You just really have to do your own research.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the whole thing, is that health, I mean, depending on what circles you hang out with and kind of what your core values are, health for me is a big priority, but you're right. Like, systematically, it's not even looked upon. Like, listen to this amazing podcast about gut health, you know, from this fantastic doctor, like an epidemiologist.
I haven't heard that.
Okay, well, that's because I'm not pronouncing it correctly, because if I did, you'd be like, oh, I know. Anyway, I'll try to edit this out, or we'll figure it out. But, like, has studied genetics and has studied, like, your hereditary, and then moved towards nutrition, and has completely, for the last, I think, like 30 years, just really understood these fundamentals of just, like, nutrition. Nothing about calories in, calories out matters. Even exercising isn't that important when you think about just, like, being healthy. It's all about our gut health, which I'm sure you've probably been aware of just with what we're talking about. But vitamins hardly can do anything to you. And so it's just so funny when you think about, you know, what seems healthy and what might appear healthy and what really is. It's just like whole foods, going to kind of your retreat or your centers, like all that stuff. And yeah, there isn't, I think, massive money around it, but I feel like we're at this point pretty soon in society where things will be changing in terms of, like, people just need to start getting healthier. Cause, like, from a mental health perspective as well, what you eat impacts your health, mental health. It's wild.
Oh yeah. You are what you eat.
I
put that in my book, that I eat from farms, not factories.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll send you the link to the podcast. I'm curious about, like, so 2023 is like the year of introspection for most people. Like, that's, you know, if you believe in any of that stuff, that's what this year is supposed to be about. And when you think about introspection, and I guess I can just tie this back to the work that I'm doing, even with personal finance and money, so much of things come back from our childhood and the trauma related to our childhood. And most of us usually have some form of trauma. Some of it's very small, some of it's larger. How did you deal with confronting the trauma that you had in your childhood?
You know, unfortunately, at that age, I dealt with it with drugs. That's it. Mm-hmm. For me, smoking weed as a kid was a way for me to cover up my pain, right? Or drinking alcohol. I first drank alcohol. So I could drink alcohol and I could go into a social environment and I wouldn't have to talk about my true self. I could just laugh about whatever was going on and then play off. And if I didn't want to talk about a real conversation, I could just play it off that I was too drunk to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right. So you have an excuse. Like, the reality of my life is, when I went home, it was very traumatic for me and tough to deal with. So taking drugs helped me fit into social environments. I think a lot of people do that, right? They don't know. You go out and drink wine and booze, they say it takes the edge off, but really what it just helps you, it prevents you from having to talk about the reality of your life.
Exactly.
In my opinion. So how did I deal with it? I took drugs. That's how I dealt with it. And it took me a long time, after taking drugs for several years, realizing how much they taxed me and that I couldn't keep going in that direction, that I had to do something else. And for me, listen, I have problems every single day, and I have problems because that's part of life, and problems are good to have, because if you don't have problems, you're not growing. The key is, now I deal with my problems by working out. Like, I shake my body, like I bounce, I jump, I like move. And movement is really, you ever see when a dog gets in a fight, after they're done fighting, like shake, like really fast?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're shaking off pain, trauma. Like, that's like shaking and movement, you're moving the limbic system. And trauma is stored in the limbic system. So basically movement is how I deal with my problems now. Before it was drugs. And don't get me wrong, like, I still like, well, all right. So, you know, listen, here's the deal. If I'm at a party and somebody offers me something, it's a very rare and a blue moon to be once a year, I'll take something, but I know how to handle it now. I don't let it poison my life, right? Like, I haven't done that in a long time, but It's like, I'm not against it if you're experienced enough that you know not, that things can abuse you. Like even booze, like I'm not going to go out and drink. I drink maybe a couple times a year I'll have three drinks. That's a lot for me, right? Like I'll go out and have one drink, but whatever. It's Where are we going? I went off tangent here. Sorry.
No, but I was just curious about like how you dealt with trauma, and you mentioned it. I think that a lot of people at the very beginning go through and cover it up with alcohol or mask it through drugs or mask it through eating. There's so many different things that you can mask it with, but I think also the real work does come, and usually when you're in your 20s, you're not even thinking about it, maybe in your 30s or your 40s, where you kind of start diving into it a little bit more. It's just so funny. I was just talking to a friend about it yesterday. So then when we talked about resilience, I was like, oh, yeah, but we didn't really talk about that. I did have something else that I wanted to chat about, but it's just, well, I guess, do you want some strategies in the book? Because I'm doing my second book, and I've been taking master classes and all of that, and I think with what you have, you've already written such a great thing. It's probably directing paid traffic. So first, like, I'm doing a completely different business now, like from the cannabis business minds and all the CPA work that I had done. Like, pandemic was one of the big things. Being a mom is another big thing. Moving abroad is another big thing. But it really made me kind of shift about time is so valuable as much as how much I love to work. But now it's like a different value time as I'm getting older. But now as I have somebody that I'm very, like, obsessed with, which is my little kid. And so I'm like, how do I do things in a different way? And so there's a few different methods. And it's interesting when you think about your book, because it's like, do you want to have 100,000 people read your book, 500,000 people? Or do you want to have that book be something that's going to help you also grow a part of whatever that personal brand business is? Because the strategies could be very different. The reason why. So I have, you know, I'm working on a personal finance book, but I'm just right now starting with a very small fraction of it. I'm going to run paid traffic because, yes, it could take me some time to build. Like, it's much more of a personal brand that I'm very similar with you. I'm just like, I want to share things. It's a very interesting thing, but being on social and kind of talking, it's not my vibe. I feel like an imposter, which is my own work that I need to do, but I can run paid traffic easily to my website. I have written a really good landing page. I'll test that on conversion to see how many people I can get to buy that book. Because a book, I mean, I think you have to ask yourself, is it to get royalty revenue? Is it to gain authority? Like, what is the goal? And then the strategy is just going to be different.
What's my goal?
Yeah.
To get on some podcasts, that was my goal initially. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm spread thin. I'm spread thin right now. When you spread yourself thin, you're not a master of one thing.
Exactly. It's very hard, right? And so I think what you want to figure out is like, because the podcasting, I think what you want to do is just work on that pitch. Your pitch is very interesting. And I think that it's interesting. So you want to get on the podcast, but which type of podcast? Cannabis podcast, lifestyle podcast, like personal development podcast, like how is that going to like line up to with probably your bigger goal is to get those they're not retreat centers. They're what do you call them again?
Like, I don't have I haven't received, that's another thing. I haven't refined that vision because I'm doing that. I'm doing the book. I'm doing the cannabis. And that's what this year is about, is me really cutting the fat and lining up with what really is going to make me feel alive.
Exactly. So, dude, but it's hard. It's hard. Even I have struggled with this for the last 6 months of like this old identity that I wanted to hold on to, this new thing that was really pulling me. And I kept feeling kind of torn. But then when I was like, no, this is actually really what I want, then you get back to that passion. So, but I feel like we're similar in the sense, like, I always love to do a lot, but when I started to kind of do a lot, it does take from you. And then you can't, it's like you almost want all these things in the ecosystem to work with each other. So then it continues just to push you forward, even if you don't have to take that first step. It's like the momentum helps you just like move. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So but I don't have an answer for you how I'm going to market the book.
Well, I think you could write. I mean, it depends because, yeah.
I have to do something amazing in the legitimate world in order to drive traffic to my book.
No, you don't. I think you have to know what the goal of that book is for people. And you seem very attuned to what that is.
Yeah.
If it's, and then you've got to figure out who that specific person is. And if you like, because it's so funny, because, but you're right. It really matters what you want out of it. Because if you want to be a coach to people or something like that, which doesn't seem like that's in full alignment, then it's easy to say like what this book taught you. But if, so I think it's just, it's so interesting. But I would say you don't have to probably write another book. Unless you want to.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
Yeah.
The book is for the book. The goal of the book is to help people reflect on their own life and reset themselves. Because there's a lot of people, listen, I'm in a good position right now. A lot of people haven't learned what I learned because they didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance to stop. A lot of people they're every week, every month, they have to make sure the mortgage is paid, the kids are fed. All the bills are paid, and that's it. Then you repeat next month, same exact thing, and you're just in the wheel. For me, I was able to step out of the wheel, and the book, if anybody reads the book, it'll help them reflect on where they are in their own life so that they can make some minor tweaks along the way and hopefully get all everything they ever wanted out of life.
Boom. That's it. That is your book. And when you can tell people that's what, why wouldn't I want to read that? Like, that's the message that they're getting. How can people find your book?
You can Google my name, Eric Canori. That's C-A-N-O-R-I. And that's my website, ericcanori.com. It's all my social media handles. You can also, anybody that reads the book, they can direct message me on the website or on Instagram. I love getting feedback from readers. If anybody's in a position where they don't think they're going to make it in life, you can always DM me. Just don't overload me with that, please. I was in a position as a kid where I didn't think I was going to make it. And that's really where this all stemmed from, right? Like, so I know what it feels like to be there at the bottom, right? And that's what I really want to help people with. I'm going to build these retreats. I'm going to help people thrive. And if you can't afford to come to the retreat, I'm going to be disseminating free information online. And that's the ultimate plan that hasn't been put into place just yet. But that's the goal. And the reason I haven't been posting on social media much is because once I come to the table, I'm going to come with a well thought out plan and I'm going to execute it. So it's of value to you. I don't want to post and waste your time. You have more important shit to do than watch me right now on social media. But once I start posting, it will be of value.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing and thanks for being on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Simone. I'm grateful that you had me.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.